Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way an hour and 20 minutes from now, the playmaker, Michael Irvin, is going to join us. Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the inglorious end to the Cowboys season and preview the NFC and AFC divisional round weekend coming up here. That's next hour on the show. This hour in 20, we are stunned to a news. In 40, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks fire Ken Norton as their defensive coordinator. Can they still build a great defense without all of that wonderful talent they had a decade ago? One final note on the Big 12. The Big 12 is welcoming four new schools into it, of course, Houston, Cincinnati, UCF, and BYU. They'll still have Texas and Oklahoma, apparently, for a good long time. Early reports still are, and I say early because there's still 4 or 3 years to go on this television deal, but that Texas and Oklahoma don't want to leave to force the penalty, the financial penalty, so they may just stay for the next 3 years, which means you could add a new four schools and have Texas and Oklahoma as the jilted brides, even though they are leaving, together, which would be a real weird Frankenstein of a Big 12. But at some point, they're going to split into divisions because they'll have at least 12 even after Texas and OU leave. And here is how I would structure it. On one side of the Big 12, you've got to have your Texas schools, Texas, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech, and now Houston. That's five. You'll lose Texas, but that's still four. They got to be in the same side. On the other side, because you got to start with now four, on the other side is where you pair Cincy and West Virginia and Kansas State. Because those rivalries, those geographic border rivalries are going to be great. Kansas State is a great hate-filled rivalry, and West Virginia-Cincinnati, going back to the old Big East days, will be really good as well. You've got to keep Oklahoma and Oklahoma State on the same side of the division for now until OU leaves. You've got to split OU and Texas onto two sides, and then you've got to figure out what to do with BYU, UCF, and Iowa State. Here's what I would do. One side, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Cincy, West Virginia, Kansas State, and BYU. No natural place to really put the Cougs. Other side, Texas, TCU, Baylor, Houston, Texas Tech, UCF, Iowa State. No real natural place to put UCF either. But when Oklahoma and Texas leave, you don't have to keep OU and Oklahoma State together anymore. So just flip Iowa State onto that side. So that Iowa State's with Cincy, West Virginia, Kansas State, Iowa and Kansas State, enough of a geographic rivalry. And then you got your two divisions, and the Big 12, bigger picture, might end up being okay. You lose two huge brands in Texas and Oklahoma. You obviously lose huge fan bases as well in major states. Just replacing them with UCF or Houston or BYU or Cincinnati doesn't replace those huge brands and fan bases. But Cincinnati obviously is a really good football program right now, and Texas would die to be in a college football playoff. BYU brings an interesting brand of football and a big national footprint because of its religious ties. UCF brings you a nice footprint of the state of Florida and a good football program. And Houston brings a sleeping giant where now that they're in a power conference, can recruit the city of Houston, which has bucket loads of 4- and 5-star kids. So the Big 12 might end up being okay after all of this, which is kind of shocking because when Texas and Oklahoma decided to leave, we all said death to the Big 12. Joe Burrow is obviously playing in his first postseason, and Joe Burrow has won a playoff game for an organization, a Bengals organization, that hadn't done so in more than 30 years. You might think, man, everything after this is gravy, which I do. I don't think it matters if the Bengals lose by 40 points. I think the fact that they got here, won the division, won a football game in January, and Joe Burrow has clearly proven himself to be the man, one of those rare guys where you just go, follow him, we'll be fine, is a win upon a win upon a win in year number two of the Bengals' growth under Burrow. It's going to be this way for the foreseeable future. Burrow has that about him. And you can't take it from him. The injury last year couldn't take it from him. The dark cloud over the organization couldn't take it from him. The lack of expectations couldn't take it from him. He's going to do it, and he's going to tell you, get out of the way if you don't think we can do it. So yesterday I thought it was interesting that Joe Burrow said, this is what should be the bare minimum around here. After winning their first playoff game since January 1991, he said, the fans were excited, but I tried to downplay it and all of that because this is how it's going to be from here on out. It's a great win for us, but this is the standard for the bare minimum every year going forward. Okay, so Joe Burrow was at LSU 2 years ago. He walked into Cincinnati in April of 2020. In February of 2020, we were on Radio Row at the Super Bowl in Miami. And we had Carson Palmer on the show. And Carson Palmer warned Joe Burrow to not go to Cincinnati. Because when Carson was there, he had scars of the organization not trying to do everything that it could to win football games, to support him as a winner, to do everything it could to push the organization forward. Carson Palmer felt like he was left holding the bag and that he didn't have the same people, the same interests around him, namely management, and said, Joe, I'm warning you, if you go there, you might have to deal with that. 2 months later, he was drafted by the Bengals, and we don't know of any conversations that happened, but Burrow immediately went in there and said, we're winning. I don't care that we haven't won. We're winning. And it's a little hard to imagine now because the Jaguars have been so bad. Back-to-back number one picks and the Bengals were in the playoffs winning a playoff game. But the Bengals were the worst team in football that year to get Joe Burrow. And he walked in and immediately, within 5 seconds, it was, whoa, Joe's not messing around here. Joe's not bleeping around. It was rookie camp. It was mini camps. It was training camp. It was preseason. It was, oh, Joe Burrow. Now, they didn't have preseason games last year, but Joe walked into the complex and it was, oh, okay, yep, that guy's not messing around. And so he has a really good season. They were a really plucky team that had some good efforts against some team that they were overmatched against, but he gets injured in late November, tears his ACL, And we're all thinking, man, I hope that didn't end a brilliant career prematurely. And he comes back within a calendar year, came back within, what, 6 months, 7 months, and was already back at practice for training camp this year, and it was same, nothing changed. We're doing this. Get out of my way if you don't think so. They draft Ja'Marr Chase. Clearly that ends up being a brilliant stroke of genius, and the rest is history. Is it a risk for Joe Burrow to say, we should win a playoff game every single year, that's the bare minimum, for a franchise that hasn't done that in 31 years? It's a risk. It's of course a risk, because that could blow up in your face where you go 2 years without making the playoffs, you go 3 years without making the playoffs, you go 6 years without winning a playoff game. I mean, the Bengals have gone 30 without winning a playoff game. So that's in play. Is it a risk to look stupid on the way out for those words to be thrown back at you? Sure, in some ways. But in other ways, Burrow is playing chess. What Carson Palmer warned Joe Burrow against is you won't have the support to win. You'll want to do it. You'll care about doing it, but they won't. And what Joe Burrow's already doing is, this is not a big deal. This is not our Super Bowl. This is the bare minimum. Because now that applies pressure to, I'm here. This is our potential. Now you guys better commit the same way, because this is what our reality should be. And I think Burrow has played a great soldier. He said he wants to be in Cincinnati. He's from Athens, Ohio, a two-hour drive. But Joe Burrow has a certain depth of character to him that's not just football, that we saw at his Heisman speech. And I think he's also 25 years old. He's been through some tough stuff football-wise. Fourth-string guy at Ohio State. Couldn't get on the field. Had to transfer, and then goes on that magic carpet run against with LSU, against all odds there. Nobody saw that coming in 2019. And now is certain of, this is who I am, this is what it takes, and I'm not going back. And he's going to tell his teammates, follow or get out of the way, and he's also telling his management, follow or get out of the way. So I like it. I applaud this. I think Burrow is changing a culture single-handedly. We look for coaches to do this all the time. Change the culture. What's the culture? What's your culture? But Burrow's doing that. Joe Burrow, a player, is going, this is where bleep changes. LeBron did that in Cleveland. You know, it was like, you guys are sad sacks, pathetic franchise, whatever. That's not how I roll. We win. Now, it took them a while to finally get there, but not too long. They were in the NBA Finals 3 years later. It was, and if you're not going to spend money and support me, I'm out of here. I'm not just around here because I'm from Akron. Burrow's already doing that to an organization that needs to be dragged by the nose. And I love this. This is our bare minimum. We're not the Bungles. We're not a team that goes 30 years without winning a playoff game. This is what we do now. This is the bare minimum every year. I don't want to just get to the playoffs. I don't want to be a wild card. I don't want to be Marvin Lewis's team that flame out when we get there. I don't want just making the playoffs to be some type of celebration. I don't want winning one playoff game to be a celebration. This is what we do now. And I'm serious about it. I love it. Is it unrealistic for the Bengals to win a playoff game every year? Maybe. I mean, even the Packers, the Steelers. The Steelers have gone 5 years, 6 years without winning a playoff game. They're the Steelers. So maybe it's unrealistic. But verbalizing that for a franchise that hadn't had it, it's huge. And for every Bengals fan that stuck through this, that went to the games when they were 2-14, and went to the Bruce Coslett games, and went to all of those garbage squads of the 90s and suffered through Akili Smith and tried to hope when Andy Dalton was in the playoffs and tried to believe when this was the next time Marvin Lewis's Bengals got to the playoffs and tried to hope and believe that things would turn. Congratulations. Because that's a fan base that's been kicked and kicked and kicked again. And now you have a real true reason to believe it's different.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When we come back on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
That website you have where I can watch the show wherever I'm at.
I appreciate you saying that. WatchDA.com, available on any device.
Including my phone.
That's right.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. WatchDA.com. The simulcast is cooking. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA, pressing buttons, pulling levers. In fact, if you are watching at WatchDA.com, you would have seen the sit-down interview with Carson Palmer that we had that we just cited about the Joe Burrow comments. That's at WatchDA.com, mobile friendly, or on Twitch. The Twitch channel is the CBS Sports Radio channel. You can join the conversation there. Not Connor Green says, DA, nothing can ruin my day after hearing that Gwen Stefani open. I'm glad I can assist Sean in the spelling of bananas. Hashtag on point. Yesterday, Andrew Catalan, voice of the NFL and March Madness on CBS, read through the Fat Journal, and in doing so, cited something that we've cited a couple of times. Mraz keeps misspelling bananas. He keeps putting two N's in the middle of bananas. It's B-A-N-A-N-A-S. He keeps putting two N's in there. So not Carter Green, said, how can you misspell bananas? There's a song about it. Andrew Kaplan went to work.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S. B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Yeah, my bleep
Gwen Stefani.
Is bananas. B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-A-S.
You toss me around that deck, so it's not just gonna happen like that. Cause there ain't no holla back girl. Ain't no holla back girl. A few times I've been around that track.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Not B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
A-N-N-N-A-S.
That's just banas. Banas.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
No, that's just three N's now.
B-A-N-N-A-N-N-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
N-A-S.
Banas.
A-N-N-N-A-S.
Are those banas ripe?
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
But yeah, I have good news.
Yeah.
Not to spoil side B of the PGP, but Sean reveals this week that he believes he is now learning the things we think he should know by now.
Mm-hmm.
He's learning them now because of story time with Sweet Little Taylor at Night. Her books, she's two, her Elmo books are now teaching Sean important lessons.
Is that right?
I'm reading more books now than I've ever read in my life.
That's how this began.
Now they're at the two-year-old level, so they're...
Sure, but I can only imagine it grows. Like, my daughter will not let me go to sleep at night if I have not read her a new book.
Cool. So what'd you learn last night from reading Taylor to sleep?
I will be honest. Last night we read the same ABC book we had done twice prior. So, I mean, honestly, my big takeaway, not a lot of X words. I mean, they really push the envelope.
It's always xylophone or X-ray.
XR, X-ray. I mean, that was really the only thing different new I took out of last night. Okay. I get, you know, on the spot, I'm just going to be honest with you. Same ABC's book by Disney.
Okay. Okay. But largely speaking, you are gathering a new foundation of education.
Yes. Yeah. Again, very, very early onset education. But these are the things we've hammered home that I've forgotten over time that I think helps. And I find it great. I'm reading front cover to back cover of these books every night now. I'm ripping through books.
You're ripping through 13-page books where the font is 56 and there's one word a page.
There's a lot of pictures. I get it. But nonetheless, I was told to start reading books. I'm reading them.
Now, our new boss loves long-term bits, right? Mm-hmm. Loves thinking ahead, multiple-week engagement.
Yeah.
This one's a doozy. But Sean's about to go through school again. Through Taylor, and we might be here for the ride. Now, again, it's going to take 10, 12 years. That's a lot of shows. But he's about to redo or do for the first time school with his kids.
Fatty Gilmore.
Fatty Gilmore.
Again, Billy Madison went to school, you dopes.
All right, Fatty Madison. Billy Fattison.
Billy Fattison.
What is it to come back to the fat?
I don't know.
Back to school.
I don't know how it happened, and it might be Danielle taking care of the baby, but clearly I'm being leaned on for the education of Taylor now.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, no.
So a lot of homework, I'm assuming, is coming my way.
And a tutor.
He's a tutor, all right.
But she's smart. She's smart. She's obsessed. Think about this. The irony of all ironies. She's obsessed with books.
Thank God somebody is in that house.
For now.
I mean, she has cleared out an entire shelf of toys to want to have her own, like, library in her room.
Wow. Where'd she get that from?
I don't know. Certainly, I'm disappointed, but it's what she's doing. She has, like, that was one thing she wanted. It's like a six-layer, you know, kid-friendly bookshelf where she's organizing them the way she wants to organize them.
Wow.
Knows which one she wants to pull out and read at any given time. Obsessed. Kids sleep with stuffed animals. She can't not sleep without books.
What are the odds? Maybe she realized early on that knowledge around her was a desert. It was the Sahara. So she just started.
Someone's got to know something around here.
A meteor hit knowledge.
I'm telling you, it makes no sense to me either, but that's like her thing. She loves being read books.
And that's great for her. What a turn. Because the last time I saw her, she was eating dog vomit off
that's
the
right.
floor.
Oh, no, she's rallying. Right. Yeah, that 6 months has been a big rally here.
Don't show her dip.
Has she read about
that incident yet?
No, she hasn't. She hasn't. She has. She's good. She yeah. She's on top of things, man. Her education's through the roof.
So Taylor Mraz is going to end up being a valedictorian, go to an Ivy League school, and be completely humiliated that her life began by eating dog puke.
Well, look, I think we'll always look back and realize that was the first DA show at Bob's Bar. Anything went that day. So her eating dog vomit, that was her own meatballs originally. Yeah, that's just bound to happen.
It is one of the great circles of life ever. Mraz had leftover spaghetti and meatballs. They were made for Taylor that day. Taylor had them in front of her. She ate half of them, left the other half. Eli came by and ate the rest of the meatballs and spaghetti off of her plate because she wasn't interested. Again, sure. a great irony of being Mraz's daughter. She wasn't interested in the second half of the meal. Eli, of course, can't eat human food like spaghetti and meatballs on a 90-degree May day.
Oh, the red meat's a problem for me.
So he eats it within 30 seconds and then vomits it all up over the patio. Instead of somebody quickly racing to clean up the vom on the patio that day where there's a national radio broadcast performing and...
I mean, you were sleeping at this point.
Well, that's true, too. And a parade of characters and Mraz's own mother being so embarrassed of decorum that she shamed Bayou Bear and Foxy from being shirtless at the place. They allowed dog vom, spaghetti, and meatballs to be on the patio long enough for Taylor Taylor to pick up a piece of the meatball that had vomited been vomited up from Eli and ate it. So she had two turns.
She had two turns. She wasn't in fact done.
She had two turns at eating those spaghetti and meatballs. The first time when they were served to her, the second time after Eli had eaten them and then regurgitated them.
Oh man, if you like twice baked potatoes, have about twice eaten spaghetti.
I am gonna defend the cleanup crew here. Taylor swooping in, it was like Brian Dawkins. It was a bang bang play.
Yeah.
Sean is vomit right. And she came in out of nowhere to knock the ball loose.
Yeah, the problem wasn't that it was there for a long time. You are right. The problem is it took a long time for anyone to react to her eating it.
Yeah, bogus at the point I go, she's like three bites in, Sean. You going to do something as a father here?
Sean, I think she just ate the dog's puke. I think that just happened. And then he didn't clean her face either. And I want to say as well, you might have had her wash it down with boiling milk that had been in a bottle for a while, too.
There's a lot that happened that day.
But it was a lot.
In the months that have followed, she's really grown up, big in the books.
Meanwhile, Sean's reading alphabet books.
What would happen if that was like her Spider-Man bite, where she ate Eli's vom and then became a super genius?
I just hope, while Sean still searches for rock bottom, that she hit it at two, and it's only on the way up.
True. Point guard at Yale. We'll see in a couple of years.
She's reading Mraz books.
Yeah, that's going to flip. I give it 2 years until she's reading Sean to sleep.
I give it 2 hours.
Believe me, I did read myself to sleep to a nap the other day. I didn't know where she went. I woke up 2 hours later. I said, oh, no. I was in her bed and everything.
She's cooking dinner.
Where was she? Where was
Danielle she? Was out with the baby.
She was opening up a library book account.
You know, she was on the... She was on the couch renting movies. I don't know what's going on.
Danielle was gone, so she was home alone,
yeah,
awake?
Yeah, I was reading the book. I was really tired, whatever day that was, and I was reading her a book in bed. I thought she was going to take the nap, and I passed out.
She was filing the taxes for the household.
Yeah, she's betting the under in the Chiefs game.
I woke up 2 hours later. She was just on the couch watching TV.
What's the movie with Russell Crowe where he's like a math whiz?
Beautiful Mind.
And he's just writing things on the window. She's got markers out, doing problems everywhere.
She's doing it with SpaghettiOs. She's spelling out super long, amazing words with SpaghettiOs.
Hey, look, E equals MC squared.
MC Hammer?
No, Dad.
Here's the formula.
She's cleaning up the kitchen. She's opened up a 401k for them.
She's spelling bananas.
I opened up my college fund.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S. Maybe she can explain why every time I get some kind of stock update from the company, it says I've only made $1.07. Maybe she can explain that to me.
She is well aware the DA show is on borrowed time already, and so your star is going to be well faded by the time that she needs that money. The college tuition.
Your portfolio is not diverse. Gotta spread it out.
She's buying big into the Zach Gelb show.
Dad, I'm telling you, Bitcoin is the future.
Who's Matt Rhule?
That chef knows the NBA.
By the way, Rob the 321, artist formerly known as, now back to his original brand, tweets that Matheson, the guy that got into it with Leon Draisaitl. Draisaitl?
Draisaitl.
Draisaitl.
He just found out also the Stars got new uniforms.
I've learned that. Says that Matheson.
Man.
Just call him reporter and player. Just do that.
We'll keep you updated once the football season ends, D.A. Don't worry. You got a couple weeks.
Look, if this was Peter King and Patrick Mahomes, I would get it.
But see, here's the problem. All the hockey we've done has been based on a new arena, so I don't blame you.
So Matheson, he says, is the Peter Schwartz of the Edmonton media. And like the Islanders players, all these guys hate talking to him as well. So is that possible? Although Schwartz would never have the spine to call anybody.
Why are you so pissy?
And Schwartz is still begging to be verified, let alone be a Hall of Fame writer.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
I mean, the guy writes about mascot droppings. I mean, what do you want here?
This guy, Matheson, probably covered the five Stanley Cups of the 80s with Gretzky and Messier.
Yes. I mean, he's legitimately in the NHL right. Hall of Fame. Schwartz has been to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the one time Schwartz should do an interview, I had him on the day the Islanders opened the new arena, and he had no take on the team but wanted to tell everybody where they could find free parking.
This guy's in the Hockey Hall of Fame for covering five Stanley Cups and Wayne Gretzky. Schwartz has his ticket to the Hall of Fame framed on the wall next to Long Island Ducks opening day 1998.
Right next to the Hockey Hall of Fame food court.
Jim's already covered a game, too, at the new arena. Schwartz has not.
Matheson's actually paid for parking.
Right.
Schwartz is not. All right, AB has our headlines this morning.
And they are sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. In addition to Mike Tomlin's QB comment that we heard in soundcheck, he seemed to say yesterday that offensive coordinator Matt Canada is keeping his job, which Steeler fans didn't necessarily love hearing. Their offense averaged just 4.8 yards per play this season, plus D coordinator Keith Butler is expected to retire. The Dolphins said to be interviewing Josh McDaniels today for their head coaching job. Dan Quinn interviews with the Dolphins as well.
You think McDaniels ever gets a job, or does he just every year interview and either never get the job or never say yes to the job?
He's making me root for the Patriots to hire somebody else when Belichick retires.
Because you don't want Josh McDaniels.
Well, at this point, yeah, you've said no, you screwed the Colts. Everybody assumes that you're the guy in waiting. Belichick clearly is chasing down Shula, not stepping down anytime soon. I hope when that time comes, the Patriots go, you know what, we're going to go in another direction.
Why would you interview Josh McDaniels anymore? Like, if he didn't leave that time for the Colts, and we're now 3 years removed from that, right? I mean, Reich has been there at least 3 years, maybe four.
I mean, Reich might be getting close to getting fired, and they have to re-interview McDaniels.
Why would Josh McDaniels 4 years later suddenly take a job? He's 4 years closer to the Patriots job.
Yeah, and it feels like there's like 17 Patriot general manager candidates. So I guess he has ties to all of them, like Casario's one.
Bizarre. I don't know why you would interview McDaniels or he would take an interview.
And they're different guys, but can the Dolphins hire the other Pats coordinator after firing Brian Flores after 2 years?
Right, for being two Patriots.
Right. The Colts, by the way, their D coordinator Matt Eberflus had a second interview with the Jags yesterday. To the NBA, the Knicks and T-Wolves came down to the final seconds at the Garden.
Fournier up top, off the Randall screen, curls into the paint, runs up the shot, off glass, no, rebound loose, Alec Burks has he, steps back on a three, fires, no, but a whistle. Is the ball game over, or is there a foul? There is no foul. It's a Timberwolves victory.
That's Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. Minnesota escaping 112-110 after those two Nick misses. Karl-Anthony Towns scored the go-ahead point with 29 seconds left. The Warriors won the only other NBA game last night, 102-86 over the Pistons. Klay Thompson scored 21-18 for Steph Curry. The Clippers reportedly adding weeks to Paul George's recovery from a torn UCL in his right elbow, so he is now out, presumably into February. George hasn't played since December 22nd. Men's college hoops. Florida State took the number 6 Duke 79-78 in OT. The Noles have now won 13 straight in extra time. Number 5 Baylor bounced back from two losses last week with a 77-68 W at West Virginia. Number 7 Kansas escaped Oklahoma 67-64. And Texas Tech topped Iowa State 72-60 in a meeting of ranked Big 12 teams. Free agent shortstop Carlos Correa has hired Scott Boras. At some point, they'll be able to find Correa a mega deal, but for now, we're on day 48 of the lockout. And on ice, the shootout went 9 rounds, and the Flyers still couldn't win.
Wahlstrom in on Carter Hart. All but stops. Took the shot. He scores. And Oliver Wahlstrom, the 9th shooter for the Islanders, wins it in the shootout, giving New York the 4-3 shootout win.
Hang in there. Tim Saunders, Flyers Radio, the 4-3 final, extending the Philly losing streak to 9. Now, we're stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I think we've done this before, but I don't care. Plus, Sean might think it's romantic.
Okay.
We are less than a month away from Valentine's Day. Now, most of us men bad at gifts, but don't get this one. The Bronx Zoo is once again letting you name one of their giant Madagascar hissing cockroaches after your sweetheart.
Aww.
A $15 donation gets you naming rights, an actual certificate with your partner's name on it. But wow, you can also add some things on, like socks, a beanie, or a virtual meet and greet with said cockroach. Wait, again, for some extra cash.
The socks go on the cockroach?
No, they go on you. I don't know if they say Bronx Zoo, if they say if they're cockroach themed.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, and I love the zoo, you can't name a cockroach for your boyfriend or girlfriend. I can't imagine that goes over well.
Well, it certainly doesn't. So this feels like the Bronx Zoo is in on the joke that you can name a hissing cockroach. That's got to be the most vile creature that they have at the Bronx Zoo.
Has to be.
So instead of naming the snow leopards after your sweetheart, you get to name a hissing cockroach. Like, they've got to be in on this gag.
Yeah, well, I would also say the snow leopards, I'm assuming longer lifespan, already are named. You can't be doing that. But Bogus just mentioned virtually meeting the cockroach. So we're Zooming with cockroaches now on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing?
And I almost feel like the first time we did this, it was a real joke that you're supposed to name, like, your heartbreak. You were supposed to kind of be mean. This is about love. This is supposed to be an actual gift. Like, honey, look what I got for you. You're going to love this.
We should do this. For Valentine's Day, why don't we take the girls in our life that broke our hearts, that were the meanest to us, and we'll name hissing cockroaches after them, and we'll buy this from the Bronx
Zoo. Pete.
So, Danielle.
Pete's already got one. No. The woman.
Fleet.
Fleet. The woman in your life prior to Danielle that broke your heart, that was mean to you, even if it was in grade school and she'd made fun of you. There's got to be somebody. I mean, even your mom blamed a fart on you and it wasn't your mom. There's got to be a woman in your life that did something over the course of your life that you would want to name a hissing cockroach after.
I just got to dig up the cafeteria woman from third grade.
Okay.
Wait, I thought she made you soft-baked cookies.
Then the other woman started changing things. I started to get less cookies. But a good point. Yeah, we'll get back.
Okay, so let's all do some thinking about this over the next 3 weeks. Think of the woman in your life that most represents a hissing cockroach. Okay, and I'm going to call the Bronx Zoo. We're going to apply for these, and we're going to do the Zoom meetings with our cockroaches.
Oh, we're going the full package, huh?
All right. Yeah. It's $15, right?
No, it's you got more for the meet and greet. It's $15 just to do the name.
How much could the meet and greet
be? It doesn't actually say in the article how much more the package goes.
All right, I'm dialing this thing up. I want to see how much it is.
Sure. Let's do it. It's
going to clear some old karma for us. We're going to name somebody from our past that broke our hearts or, in your case, took away cookies.
No, I could find somebody else meaner. There's been a lot of mean people.
We're going to name hissing cockroaches after them and then do virtual meet and greets with them.
I like it. I like it.
I love that Pete's going to name the entire enclosure. He's going to call the Peepalotti Cockroach Pavilion at the Bronx
Zoo. The Pavilion Memorial.
The Cockroach Pavilion.
Building skyscrapers, everything.
By the way, what does it say about the Bronx Zoo that they have cockroaches to see? Like, who needs to see that exhibit when you pay to go to the zoo?
I don't know.
Go from camels to cockroaches?
Yeah. That's right. That's their branding slogan. From camels to cockroaches. Come see it all. Okay, thank you very much, Bogues. When we come back here on the show, we continue on this fine Wednesday. Pete Carroll's going to try to build back a defense without Ken Norton Jr. Can he do it? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, in those days, we rode the buses, stayed in the hotels. Outside of the not having the groupies and the fame and the money, it was like being on the team, D.A.
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Great jams, new music put in by Pete. Love this. This weekend on CBS, the NFL Divisional Round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live begins Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. Joe Burrow and the Bengals head to Tennessee for a battle with the top-seeded Titans. Sunday, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. Highly anticipated rematch for the ages when Josh Allen and the unstoppable Bills offense takes on the equally unstoppable Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. Get set for both games. NFL Today, the NFL Divisional Round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live this week and only on CBS.
CBS, spectacular, yeah!
A rematch for the ages, even! Wow, do Chiefs and Bills get that billing for the ages? Like this is Magic Bird in the third of the NBA Finals?
I'm just glad they got copy.
For the ages. Is this Cowboys-Niners 94 NFC Championship game?
Well, also, they could play each other another 20 times in this era of Allen and Mahomes. What, are they going to keep calling it the ages every time?
Woo-hoo! For the ages coming up on Sunday night from Arrowhead. By the way, Michael Irvin's going to join us in about 30 minutes from now. We'll talk about that game and the Cowboys and everything else. NFL playoff related. Michael Irvin coming up next hour on the program. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone's America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The DA Show, by the way, is available on your phone inside the CBS Sports app. You can listen to us or the Odyssey app. I highly encourage the Odyssey app download because it's free. You can listen to CBS Sports Radio or a number of other radio stations, but you can always listen to the DA Show, and it houses our podcast as well. So it's one-stop shopping for the DA.
Beepa, ba-boopa, ba-bapa.
Carla tweets, oh my! I like any tweet that starts with, oh my, because basically, you guys don't even know this, but me and Pete just say, oh my, to one another, or, oh, doctor.
Oh, doctor, down the lefty line.
Constantly, we just say that when there's nothing else to say, oh my, or oh, doctor. Carla says, oh my, your repetitive spelling of bananas makes me think of the old cheer, go, bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. I don't think I could unhear Mraz spelling it with two N's. Yeah, you and me both, Carla.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
That's three N's to you. Banzas.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Banas.
A-N-N-N-A-S.
You got it?
N-N-N-A-S.
Don't step out of line.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N Benez.
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 What does Donkey Kong eat? You know, bright yellow. Benez.
Benez.
My favorite, and this is not a lie, one of my favorite desserts is a Benez split.
Benez.
And admittedly, my favorite runt is Bene.
Benez.
Who has a favorite runt, by the way?
I like the Benez flavor.
How often do you have it runts?
Not often, but, you know, once on Halloween, maybe once every couple of Halloweens. I don't know.
So it's like the Olympics.
Odd years, maybe, yeah.
Something to look forward to.
That's right. Ken Norton Jr. is out as DC in Seattle. And now
We see how the Seahawks can build back that defense. And the question is, can Pete Carroll be the guy at the top? I'm not convinced that Pete Carroll's coming back for next year if they want to keep Russell Wilson. I don't know. There's just, I find it very hard to believe that Russell Wilson, after last year, wants to run it back with a team that clearly was worse and a head coach that's a year older. I mean, why would Russ agree to stay with much of the same stuff involved? Does he want to be coached by Pete Carroll? I mean, look, if he really wants Pete Carroll there, fine. But what's the change then, the dramatic change that makes Russell Wilson optimistic about another year in Seattle? I could see Russ coming back to Seattle. I just can't see him and Pete Carroll coming back to Seattle. But Ken Newton Jr. is out, and he was a protege of Pete Carroll. So this is pretty surprising, although the defense was so bad, especially down the stretch, that they had to make a change there. So this might be the first of many changes, but Pete Carroll, I mean, look, he's a defensive guy, a defensive backs coach by nature, and the Seahawks defense, I mean, how about this? You want to harken back to the Seahawks and one of the great defenses ever. Led the NFL in scoring defense 12, 13, 14, and 15. And was first in fewest yards allowed in three of those 4 years. So for 4 years, the Seahawks had the best defense in the NFL 4 years running. Points and yards given up. In that time, they went to two Super Bowls and won a championship. But since then, it's been nowhere close to that. And it really makes you wonder if that was just a moment in time. Because think about what Pete Carroll had on that team. I think Richard Sherman's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think Earl Thomas is going to be a Hall of Famer. Those two guys are in your starting secondary. That's a half of your starting secondary is going to Canton. You also have Cam Chancellor, who, had he played longer, could have made the Hall of Fame as well. That's three quarters of your secondary was Hall of Fame caliber, not to mention Bobby Wagner, who could be in the Hall of Fame one day as well. You had four different players with Hall of Fame capabilities on your defense alone. Russ, obviously, on the offensive side, will likely be in Canton one day. Marshawn Lynch could be in Canton one day. I mean, that Seahawks team might have had five Hall of Famers on it and won one Super Bowl. That's tough. But the reality was that defense was unreal. K.J. Wright was awesome as well. Malcolm Smith was the MVP of that Super Bowl. Bruce Irvin was on that team. I mean, that defense just top to bottom was stupid. Cliff Averill was on that team. Brandon Browner was excellent on that championship squad. Go down the list, and it's just ridiculous the type of talent that they had on that squad. And it makes you wonder, okay, Pete Carroll once coordinated or once coached the best defense in football, one of the best of all time. But was it just because he had Hall of Famers at almost every position? Can he ever get there again without him?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.